And I mean, if you make music because you love it and you want to do it your way, this can also be a more comfortable way to keep doing your art the way you want it and just separate, you know? Like, I have pop sensibilities, but I have my own way of doing it, and I don't want to compromise. So I would rather do my own thing as an artist and then make this stuff on the side and, you know, between the two, be fine.
That's Alicia Zade. I'm Steve Cleveland. This is Sync Club. Hey, Alicia. Welcome to the club. So how'd you get your start in music?
Well, I have music in my family all around me. On my dad's side, my cousin's a clarinetist, and my other cousin had many bands, and then the third sibling was in the Toronto Symphony. So, you know, I kind of just grew up. My dad was into like folk guitar, and my mom would sing to me since I was a baby. So by the time I was, you know, 6 or 7, I was in children's choir. And when I was 10 or 11, I started a band, like a punk rock band with my friends, and we played some elementary schools, the coffee shops.
Nice. So,
after that, you know, my friend and I just kind of accidentally discovered our first rave because we went to high school downtown and we got flyered on the street and we got on the shuttle bus and the party didn't even actually happen. It got busted, but you know, we were ever the more intrigued and we ended up at some after party. And I remember being instantly fascinated. And soon after that, I started singing with a friend of mine in high school who was DJing house music and quickly discovered drum and bass, which was way closer to punk and industrial and like, which is kind of like my high school roots. And from there, I just wanted to learn to do everything and got into production, went to audio school when I was about 18 and have just been making tunes and touring ever since. So long story, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So you're still touring.
Yeah, it's just a little bit more chill than it used to be. I used to be on tour 180 days a year for many years. And now I'm just, you know, doing like a couple of shows a month, like still happening, still flying quite often. But I'm about to move to Spain for a year and, you know, just write music and be inspired. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds like a dream. That's got to be just super exciting.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled. Sometimes it's good as an artist to do things just to change your environment because your inspiration can get stale, you know? You have to live life a little.
For sure. For sure. So as far as like sources of revenue, I know that you've done some different types of licensing of your music and also some more kind of like structured or traditional types of licensing.
There's such a world of other income. And I think the key is, you have to know the scope of your skill set. If you're a really talented instrumental musician and not as much an engineer, you should look into stuff that I've done, which like sample packs. That was the first thing I really wanted to talk about because I think the value of those to artists is undersold. Here's how it goes. Real instrumentation, particularly things that pluck or breathe or bow, you know, anything that requires human movement is hard to synthesize. So those are the things that people still need to source samples of. And if you can release a pack that gives them a legitimate tool set to create, like let's say a sitar player, you could do a library with little, not just notes, but flourishes, phrases, different keys, you know, strums. You can make subfolders and then you can put that together and market it as a pack as well as sell it separately on websites like Splice to get a really nice source of passive income. And that can vary. You know, it's been a while that it's taken for me to catch up on my sample pack, which I put a lot of work into. It took me months and it was excessively large. And doing it again, I'll probably just do smaller packs more regularly instead of making one big monster. But
well, I did two searches. I searched your moniker, Alicia, and I got, you know, the normal kind of, and tons of, you know, good results. I got social websites. It looked like some gigs and that kind of thing. And then when I did Alicia Intonations, I was getting all these things that were pointing me to Splice and Prime Loops and Sonic Academy and Big Fish. And I mean, it just went on and on and on. So it's you know, the sample pack has got like it's everywhere. It's very pervasive. You know, in that world of sample libraries.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a musician or an artist, the best thing you can do is field research as to what's already available in what I do. And for stuff like especially vocals and tribal percussion, there's a huge, huge lack of content. So even if you're an engineer, you're not a musician at all, if you know, let's say, a Jamaican vocalist, and you go make a pack and split it 50-50 with them, you could still rake it in, because people are desperate for good, authentic world samples, or like a, you know, Colombian drummer. That's what I was going to do if I wasn't moving to Spain, was go through Central America and record different percussion. You know, there's so many rich textures that are made by humans that people still desire, and they will pay money for that. And the reason that my pack is everywhere, I credit entirely to the awesome, awesome company that I worked with on it, Black Octopus. They are out of British Columbia, which is the same place I'm from, although I didn't really know them back then, but they are just a bunch of cool guys who are super nice and supportive of their artists and super fair, and have given me a lot of opportunities too. They've sub-licensed that to other packs to for source content. It got licensed to an app. So there's been a lot of passive income from that stream that's been really nice and allowing me to do new things and take risks, because I'm not dependent on touring all the time anymore. It's really nice to have time for myself.
Yeah, that seems like, I guess that just makes life a little bit less stressful when you can come up with these revenue streams like that, where it's kind of like mailbox money, I suppose.
Well, and I mean, touring is not sustainable. The reason why, like, I'm sure you've noticed in the news that mental health is a trending topic now, because people are starting to admit that they're having breakdowns, because this whole like tour life is not glamorous like it seems. You're often just like on airplanes, which is like being in a sensory deprivation tube. You're away from your friends and family. You're constantly having to make small talk with people you barely know, and it's exhausting. And especially if you're a creator, like a lot of us have these introversion phases that we can't even go through when we're on the road. So in the long term, we get burnt out, which has happened to me more than once, because I've been around a while. You know, it happens every decade or so for me. I kind of go into, I need to reset. I need to do something new. And for me, it was moving to Spain, which just came together beautifully. And now I feel so at peace and have the time to do things to support other artists, which is fantastic, because that's a huge part of what I'm about, collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I think that, you know, like the stress of the traveling, it's, you know, having had some experience in a job where I had to travel, I can appreciate it. I really hated airports and trains and all the travel things that I would have to do to get from point A to point B. And then you're never like at home. So you can't even like go home and like just lay down in your own bed. You know, it just is like an uncomfortable time the entire time you're on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying like going to Europe. I'm sure I'll love going around Europe to play gigs and to explore, because it's something new. But I, you know, I've been on tour of the United States for many years, and I love it, and I love my fans there, but it's just exhausting to always kind of be doing that circuit. And not to mention, I do feel guilty about the carbon footprint sometimes about just flying to work all the time.
Yeah. So while you're in Spain, are you there for a purpose, or is it just to kind of de-stress and check out how awesome Spain is and Europe?
I mean, of multiple purposes. It was really great. And I don't mean to get all hippie, but I did manifest that. I can't explain it. A couple of years ago on my birthday, I did an impulse trip. I was already in Germany, and we just booked tickets to Barcelona, and I just fell in love and said, I wish I had a reason to just go live in Spain for a year. And not 6 months later, I spoke to the current professor at Berkeley about taking over his job while he was on sabbatical, and went fast forward some months later. And that's what I'm about to do for the next school year. I'm very, very excited.
Well, that's awesome. That's really cool. So let's go further down the path of licensing, because I think you mentioned that you have also done some kind of more traditional sync type licensing or some composition type licensing.
Right. So there's a lot of production houses, and not to mention production divisions of regular record labels, where, you know, essentially a lot of people are realizing the same thing. You don't sell albums like you used to. You know, people stream music, they don't buy it, and streaming revenue is lower. And this is a common sentiment with musicians. So you have to do different things with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Where would you, like, if you were going to point somebody into a direction saying, hey, you want to do like post audio and you're in maybe not in LA or New York where it's more common, are there opportunities for people in, let's say, flyover country?
So I do all this. I do a lot of this stuff for these production houses remotely because they're not here. They're, I work for, you know, a couple in the UK actually, and I'm working some in the US as well. And it's totally remote. Essentially, they will give me what they call briefs of, you know, different concepts that they're looking for, which is like things clients have been asking for that they don't already have in their catalog, essentially. And then it's up to you if you think that you can provide that and you give it a try and then you pitch them demos. And then if they like it, you can develop it. And depending on the production house, some of them actually are quite fair and nice. Like the bigger companies will give you a producer advance, which is like, you know, a couple $1,000s to deliver a few tracks just as a producer fee. Then you get half the royalties after that for licensing. And sometimes it can be quite nice. I've had some stuff licensed to a couple of, you know, backgrounds of TV shows and little things through them. And so that's another good side income stream for sure. And I would definitely say if you're good at making at least a couple of styles on a dime, you know, like it's hard for some people, but it's easy for and my main production partner, Frost, he can kind of whip up any genre in like an hour, at least a demo quality, which is amazing. So for him, it's very lucrative because he can pitch for as many different concepts as he wants in a very quick time frame. I'm a little bit slower, so we often work together on this so that I can actually deliver those in time. But it basically depends on your workflow. But I would encourage everybody to try to get good at mixing at home because we have all the tools now. Programs are really advanced and there's tools to even help you judge the quality of what you're doing.
Oh, okay. That's very useful. So if I were interested in such a thing, would this be kind of considered like a publishing deal or is it just a work for hire production kind of thing?
It's just called like production music and we split the they take the publisher share. I take the writer share. So it's like a 50-50 thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like I said, it's that and the sample pack are pretty nice side income streams and they definitely take care of like a lot of the basic needs.
Nice. Okay. Okay. I mean, I think those are very interesting ways for artists to kind of go outside the box of the traditional, you know, I'm going to make a record and then sell it because those days may be over for everybody except for the very few.
Yeah. And I mean, if you make music because you love it and you want to do it your way, this can also be a more comfortable way to keep doing your art the way you want it and just separate, you know, which is like, it's been healing for me because I've just never been comfortable making stuff to a commercial pop. Like I have pop sensibilities, but I have my own way of doing it and I don't want to compromise. So I would rather do my own thing as an artist and then make this stuff on the side. And, you know, between the two, be fine.
Right, right. I think that is a nice thing because I think that a lot of people feel that they're going to give up something of themselves if they try to put out what the market wants, I guess.
Exactly. So why compromise that if you have a strong belief in what you do and you want to do it your way and you have, you know, I have some really great fans and I can live comfortably splitting my time and, you know, doing stuff I want and doing stuff that the market needs and not having to mix them together.
Very nice. Okay. So we just talked about the production things that you've done. Now, has anything ended up like on television or film where you're getting like a synchronized type placement or even like video games?
Yeah, for sure. I've licensed like sounds to mobile games and I've licensed, like other stuff that I keep getting royalties from, like YouTube videos are actually they're a small stream of revenue, but they can be constant if it's a big channel. And, you know, for instance, one of my songs, barely 30 seconds of it got on the background of this gaming channel, but it also had a ripple effect because it caused a lot of people to look it up on Spotify and suddenly it's one of my highest played tracks on Spotify as well.
Yeah, I do think anytime you have your music out there, people are going to want to find it. Hey, where can I hear the rest of that song? So it's always, I think, a good practice to have it out there, like on Spotify and all the streaming services.
Yeah, like Spotify can have that. Like, it's a small revenue as well, but it's just pieces of a puzzle. You know, you just like get a bunch of little pieces and then it all fits together and you can have a life where you don't like, you feel like you're being authentic and still, you know, providing for yourself.
Yeah, I get that. So what else do you have going on?
Well, there's a few projects I'd like to let people know about that, you know, I'd like to invite them to be part of too, which is pretty much everything I do is about collaboration. For one, I run a public free Discord music production server. It's the companion to the EDM production Reddit. And we're our own kind of community where we have constant little production challenges and competitions. Sometimes we have plugins and samples and lessons as prizes. Right now, I just finished the entry point of a splice competition for the release of my sample pack, which we did events in the Discord for. So just look up the EDMP Discord. It's linked in a lot of my media. That's the first project I'm doing. The second is an amazing festival called Tribal Gathering that goes on around the end of February every year. It's in Panama, and it's run by people from London and all over the world. And it's a charity event bringing over 60 indigenous tribes from all over the world to teach workshops, tell their stories, perform music, and do other amazing things. And you can go to the festival for up to a few weeks. It turns into a regular festival in the middle and starts to have electronic music acts. But it's some pretty amazing magic. I'll be running a jungle studio there, recording collaborations between people. But the festival itself, I would just highly encourage. You can look up documentaries of it on Vimeo or YouTube. It's called Tribal Gathering Panama. That's the second project. The third, I'm just going to hint at. It's a new video culture, electronic culture content network. That's all I'm going to say. But it's going to have a lot of edutainment. Is what they call it, educational entertainment, and some comedy. So
okay.
Stay posted. I'm definitely making some skits and some other fun stuff, and you know that is yet to come.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I will ask you for some links because I'm sure that people would like to be able to find what you're doing and support you.
Yeah. ill-esha.com is my main portal. It has links to all my other socials there. So if you just go there, you can find everything. My Instagram is probably the most active right now because it seems like everybody is only going there, you know, other platforms. I guess I use Twitter and Facebook a little bit. So find me, join the community. That's the best place to find me. I'm always there too.
Perfect. Hey, any parting words of wisdom?
Collaborate. People underestimate, especially in these times, you know, what I'm noticing is we're returning to this village phenomenon where even though the internet is boundless, we are congregating into these little mini like SoundCloud communities of maybe 20 artists that only play and promote each other's stuff because people have a longing for community, however isolated they are. And I would encourage people, if you can't physically go face to face, support people online and, you know, make your friends and support their art and realize that like, self-promotion constantly in this world of like each man an island, it's driving people further apart. You know, we're already disconnected enough. We need to reconnect. And maybe I'm an old-fashioned raver. I come from the days of Blur, but I still believe that part of it is connecting with each other. That's the part of the purpose of music. That was the tribal purpose from ancient times. It was telling stories and songs and, you know, elders with youth and everybody united. So I do think that inherently that is the purpose of music.
I totally agree. All right. Well, Alicia, thank you so much. Hey, make sure you check out the show notes where you can find links to EDMP Discord, Tribal Gathering Panama, and other ways to connect with Alicia. This is Steve Cleveland, and you've been listening to Sync Club. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. Hey, well, thanks for the hang. We'll see you here next week at the club.